Let us turn in God's word to the Song of Solomon tonight. The Song of Solomon and the chapter 6. And I want to leave with you the verse 2. The verse 2. My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. My beloved has gone down into the garden to gather lilies. The Song of Solomon is a unique book. It's full of typology, full of pictures and images that the people of God can use in their meditations to consider Christ, to see the beauty and glory of Christ. It's called the Song of Songs, and Solomon wrote over 1,000 songs, but this is the Song of Songs, the one that has been preserved for us, because it is unique. It's inspired, but it's also a song about Christ, the Song of Love, as it is called. And that makes it special. So we are sure the Holy Spirit intends us to consider Christ. There's a greater than Solomon here. You always have to remember that. That's Christ. And there's also a greater than Solomon's bride here. And that's Christ's bride. So that's a basic rule whenever you come to meditate and to contemplate the Song of Solomon. Now in this verse, the bridegroom is pictured as a gardener. He's the gardener. He has his garden. My beloved has gone down into his garden. And that's a very suggestive image of the Lord Jesus, because the Lord has a love for gardens. And he has his people in the image of a garden, with all the beautiful variation, all the wonderful spices, and where his bird can breathe across all the different growth and do wonderful things. You remember the first garden the Lord made before the fall, the Garden of Eden, into which he put man, Adam and Eve. And then you remember whenever the Lord came into the new day, the commencement of the new heavens and the new earth, which was after his resurrection. At his resurrection, he came into the new day, the eighth day. Mary saw him. And what did she suppose him to be? The gardener. The gardener. She was partially right, partially wrong. He wasn't the gardener of that area of the tomb, as she was thinking, but he certainly is a gardener. And here in our text tonight, he comes forth as that. He goes down into the garden, the beds of spices, and to feed in the gardens, to fellowship in the gardens. As he often does, he visits his people, fellowships with them, works with them. But there is also this wonderful activity of gathering the lilies. He gathereth lilies. And so we have fruit and produce that has to be gathered as well. It has to be gathered to be used. But lilies are gathered to be collected, gathered for beauty, gathered for ornamentation, gathered for display. And that's what he's going to make all his people. Beautiful lilies. And then he's going to gather them up to be with himself. Beautiful, white, fragrant lilies. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus is pictured by the lily. You see that in the earlier part of the Song of Solomon, the lily of the valley. And then his people are pictured as lilies too, because the Lord Jesus is going to make his people like himself. They're just going to be like himself. Fragrant and white just like the Lord Jesus Christ is. So this is a fitting symbol of what he does to his people and what they'll be like whenever he gathers them up at the end. I want to think about this subject of the Lord Jesus as the gatherer of his people, the gathering of the saints in the scriptures. So we want to think of how the Lord Jesus in different ways gathers Christians, gathers lilies. And there are about a sevenfold or thereabouts variation of how the Lord Jesus Christ does this. And we want to consider these each very quickly. Now, they all reveal his love and kindness for his people, his tender regard for them, how near they are and dear they are to his heart, and how he wants them to be with him at the end. He grows them in this garden so that he can gather them and have them with him. So we're thinking about the love of Christ whenever we look at all these gatherings. Well, the first gathering of lilies, we could say, was in eternity past. Christ gathered lilies in eternity past. Some pulpits mightn't preach that or proclaim that. They somehow feel that that interferes with the gospel preaching and with the call to men to repent. And they don't like somehow the thought that somehow it's all been planned in eternity past. And somehow Christ has had something to do with his saints even before they were born. But it's true, brethren and sisters. There was a gathering of his people in eternity past. We're talking about a gathering in the mind of God. Before there was a world, before he even planted the lilies, he intended to gather them. And this is all unfolding in his mind. He does it in his mind. He does it by his eternal decree, even before he does it, he fulfills that and brings that to pass in time. So we have to begin there in eternity past, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Chosen in Christ. In other words, the Father gave them to Christ, and Christ gathered them to himself. He gathered them to himself in the eternal covenant of redemption, in the purpose to make them holy, like himself, to make them white lilies. There was a gathering in his heart, a gathering in his purpose and plan. So this doesn't happen haphazard. It doesn't happen random. He comes into the world, oh, there's a lily has appeared, and oh, there's another one, that's good. No, it's all been in his plan and purpose. He laid them up in his heart, a great number of them in his heart. And that's the first gathering. And there wouldn't be any other gatherings that we're going to speak about at all unless there had been that one in his heart. We would have just all been brushed into hell. We would all have been lost within the mass of humanity. Not one lily ever would have been produced, but all would have been perishing were it not for this gracious election of God. So there was that gathering, and that's a very important gathering, and that's a foundational gathering. And then secondly, we can say there was the gathering at the cross. There was a gathering in his death. There was a gathering of them in his sacrifice. The lily is, we are told in chapter 2, dwelling in a certain place. If you turn to chapter 2, the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. So the lily is associated as being among the thorns. It doesn't have thorns, but it is among thorns. And that's where these lilies are whenever they are growing and developing, and God's grace finds them. They're among thorns or in sin, under the curse. They are in the devil's wilderness, in the wildness. That's where we were as sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ had to become a high priest, and he had to put on the garments of a high priest, And he had to go into the garden and he had to put his whole humanity into the thorns, among the thorns. He had to go among the thorns to get these lilies among the thorns. And so he's identified with the curse. He had to have his hands and feet pierced to gather the lilies. Think of that. You couldn't be gathered without him being pierced, without him being wounded for you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The crown of thorns were upon his head. He had to go in head first. He had to go in his whole humanity under the curse to gather us. And at the cross, that's where it's first happening. He's gathering us, going out into the wilderness, gathering us among the thorns. He's suffering for us. He's giving his life a sacrifice for us, for the sheep. He is gathering his people by his blood, by his passion, by his sacrifice. And so, child of God, you are a lily, but not without price, not without purchase, not without the passion, the awful passion of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So for your gathering from amongst the thorns, from sin, to gather you out of sin, which he first did at the cross, he was pierced through terribly, so much so that he died for us. So that's an illustration that I trust causes you to appreciate what your Lord Jesus Christ has done to gather you and to save you from sin and to bring you to himself. So that's the second gathering at the cross. And then the third gathering is in time, whenever the Lord comes into the garden and into the world, to gather each one in salvation. This relates to the sinner's experience of salvation. There's the election to salvation, that gathering. There is the purchase of the people, that gathering. And now there is the experience where the Savior desires to gather sinners and to draw them to himself in the call of the gospel. You remember how the Lord Jesus Christ said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how often would I have gathered thy children together? I'd have put them under my wing. I would give them the covering of salvation. How would I have gathered them?" But they would not. They would not. And so there is that gathering under his wing. That gathering to salvation, the great gatherer of souls to himself. You remember concerning Shiloh, it said that he shall come and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And this is one of those gatherings. They come to him by faith. They run to him and surround him and take hold of him. And they do so because he drew them. He worked with them. He worked at their roots, and he himself gathered them. So they come because he drew them. They come because he gathered them. And so it's that aspect of the gathering that we are talking about. He drew them with an everlasting love in the call of the gospel. He drew them by his Spirit. And so the time of gospel preaching, where men are called and the Holy Spirit draws to Christ, is a time of ingathering of souls to Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming into his garden, into the assembly. And that's really what we need, isn't it? We need the Lord Jesus to come into the community. We need the Lord Jesus to come into the church and to gather sinners to himself, to draw them to himself, to collect them, to work with them, and to pick them out of that darkness of sin wherein they are found, and to bring them into his heavenly kingdom of light, to be our brethren and sisters in the Lord. And so there needs to be this powerful call where the Savior gathers sinners. He calleth his own sheep by name, the Bible says, and he leads them out. It's not what the shepherd does. He gathers the sheep. He gets them all together. He calls them by name. And when he sees they're all gathered together, he leads them out. And they know him and they follow him whenever he does this gathering. They come after him because they know he's gathering them. And so they come to him. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, Jesus says. And that's what happened the day that we were saved. He gathered us by his word and by his spirit. And that's what sinners who are unconverted need to seek. They need to say, Lord, I want to be gathered to you. I want to come to you. I want you to draw me to yourself. And so he is the gatherer of the lilies. How he loves his people. How he will have them to be with him. And then there is a gathering. He gathers his people in time. And there's another gathering that we might think about for a wee moment. And that's in prayer and intercession. Because that's really what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He gathers up his people in prayer. He takes them to himself and he presents them to the Father. He has their names on his hand. They're written engraved upon his breast. His breastplate as the great high priest. And every name is before him. And he's gathered all those names together. And he pleads before the Father for them. So there's this gathering in prayer. He picks each one out to present each one before the Father. To pray for them. To intercede for them. To be an advocate for them. These are my sheep, Father. These are my lilies. These are the ones for whom I have died and bought with my blood. These are them. There's their names. I've gathered them. And there's their names. I've written them all down in the nail-pierced hands. Sanctify them, Father. Give to them abundantly of thy Holy Spirit. And let them see my glory that thou hast given to me as the God-man. And so there's that gathering in intercession. And then he gathers his people. He saves them. And he gathers his people, the lilies, one by one. And he brings them into a congregation. He gathers them into church. He gathers them into his house. He puts them in bunches, in different vases or vases. He doesn't gather a lily to be on his own, to be a little independent by himself. But no, he gathers them to put them in bunches, in little assemblies, in little Zions, to be together for fellowship and to be a display before the world of his glory, what he has and does to his lilies. And so the Lord Jesus does gather you into a church, into an assembly. This is very important. It's the way he works. Not just a gathering in attendance, but a gathering to join, to identify with. And so a Christian should be in a congregation, fully and faithfully. A Christian should be able to say, this is my vase into which the Lord has put me. Bless his name. He's given me a family. He's given me ones like myself who have the same experience, the same common salvation, and every one of us should be able to say that with conviction. He gathered me and he put me in this place. because that's what he does, you see. That's part of the gathering. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. How are they gathered together? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has gathered them and gathered them together in a church. There might just be a little handful. That's his doing. If he only wants to put a dozen or two dozen in a vase, well, that's his doing. We'll not be discontent. We'll not be moaning and complaining. We'll still enjoy it. And we'll pray, Lord, put more in. Put more in. We can pray that. But we certainly shouldn't be judgmental of the Lord and be cross with him in any way, or think that somehow we might be outside his will. Because I tell you, there are very small vases, assemblies across the world. But it doesn't mean the Lord doesn't love them. It doesn't mean the Lord has forgotten them. No, he puts them together even in little assemblies. And you read Acts chapter 2, all those thousands who were saved, how that they were together. They were together. We haven't time to turn to that wonderful passage at the end of Acts 2, but you can read that yourself. And thinking of the Lord's table, which we're having tonight, he gathers us onto the Lord's table, doesn't he? He gathers us to the table. Now, there's a gathering at the table, and we have to think of that. Come to the table, he says. He gathers the lilies, and he puts them at the table, and he tells them, this is my body broken for you, and this is my blood shed for you. This do in remembrance of me. Gather ye here. Just like that night, he had the 12, all the disciples, the apostles around him. He gathered them around the table that night. And that's what he does in every assembly. The Lord's table, as we'll see this evening. And he would draw us around together. So there's a gathering at the table. He gathers his lilies and he puts them at the table. And then there is the gathering in death. And I suppose that may come to the fore here. In this verse, the Lord comes into his garden. He has a fellowship with the saints, with the bed of spices. He feeds in the gardens. He eats and drinks with them in the gardens. And then some he takes away. It's time to go. It's time to leave the garden below. And he takes some away. So he gathers his people in death. And the death of a Christian is a gathering time for Jesus. You mustn't think death for a child of God is an accident. You mustn't think that death for a child of God is the believer being cut off or somehow perishing. No, it's the Lord coming and uprooting them from the soil and taking them from the earth and bringing them to himself to be with him in heaven. As the Bible says, merciful men are taken away. They're taken away. And the Lord takes them away. He has the keys of death. He comes into the garden and he takes them away into the heavenly place. And it was Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like them. Because he saw that the death of Christians was altogether different. The death of saints was altogether different from the death of his fellow pagans in the pagan tribes. He wanted to see the end and experience the end and the last end of the saints, because that's a gathering, a very special event. You know that Lazarus was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. There was actually a gathering and a conveying and a conducting of him to glory. We read of the rich man that he just lifted up his eyes and he was in hell. It doesn't seem to be a gathering at all there. There doesn't seem to be any carefulness. But Lazarus has a careful gathering. And you can be sure that every saint is like that. There's a careful gathering. It's well planned. It's well in order. The Lord Jesus is in control. He's there. And he's just taking his child away to be with himself. So the Lord adorns heaven with lilies, and they're all like himself. They're all pure and white through the blood of the Lamb, and they're with Christ, which is far better. You know, Jesus was standing, and they're beating the brains out of Stephen. And it looks like they're sending him into eternity. It looks like it's all man's side. And they're cutting him off and they're taking away his life. It looks like they're gathering the lily. But the Lord Jesus Christ is standing. And he's receiving him. It's actually the Lord Jesus Christ is gathering him. By this means, through the instrumentality of wicked men's hands. But the Lord Jesus Christ is gathering him to himself. And we are sure that the death of every Christian is like that, child of God. There's no doubt about that. So the Lord Jesus gathered the first martyr, and he gathers every child of his that dies. And then there is the gathering at the end of the world. The final gathering. The future gathering. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. That's why we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's going to come. Going to come with a great shout. The whole earth will be conscious of it. And the dead in Christ will rise first. They're being gathered. And the living will be caught up to meet them in the air. And that'll be the day all the lilies are gathered. In their glorified humanity, they'll be totally Christ-like. I am the lily of the valley, and all of them are lilies gathered to be with himself at the last day. That's what the end of the world is. The field is the world, and the Lord gathers the wheat from among the tares, and he takes the lilies to himself. It's a personal gathering, it's an individual gathering, it's a physical and literal gathering, it's a visible gathering, it's a powerful gathering, and it's an abundant entrance of all these beautiful lilies into the presence of Jesus, to be with him forever and ever. The Bible has a lot to say on that gathering in particular. He gathered his wheat into the garner, as it says. How the Apostle Paul says, "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." So we're going to be gathered together, all of us. It's going to be one big body, one big family. Every one of us like the lily of the valley. Oh, how beautiful we're going to be. How fragrant, how pure, how white, how sinless, clothed in white garments. Totally Christ-like. It's going to be a wonderful day, isn't it? Remember how the Lord Jesus said about the world's like the sea, and at the end of the world he cast in a great net and he'll draw everybody out, all the fish out. And he'll gather the good. That's what it says. He'll gather the good into vessels. But the bad, he throws away. He just throws away. So this word gathering is a very important word with the Lord Jesus. And he uses it himself. So he really loves you. He really loves his people. He wants them to be with himself. He wants them to be mirroring himself. And he wants them to have them around himself. Lilies like himself. And to do that, he has to do a lot of work. A lot of garden work. He has to have a lot of grace. He has to have a lot of patience too, doesn't he? But he'll do it. He has the patience. He has the power. He has the will. And he'll do it. And so we'll all ever be with the Lord when he's gathered us together to be with himself. So I trust your faith is in him. I trust you're a Christian tonight, because this is only true of Christians. If you're not a Christian, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus. You need to trust in him with true faith, and he will save you. And when he saves you, he'll gather you, and he'll never lose you. He doesn't lose those he gathers. They don't drop out of his hand. They don't slip away, because they're lilies that he gathers. And he doesn't lose a lily. Not one. Not one. Not one goes to hell and perishes. We're all saved by his grace. So how the Lord loves his people. How the Lord takes time with his people. How the Lord is good to his people. He's kind. His chesed. His mercy. And so let's gather then to the table and be with him just there for a little while.